My friends in Christ, if you came this morning looking for some comfort, you're in luck. And if you're ready for challenge, you won't be disappointed. There's enough comfort in today's scriptures and enough challenge to change the world, or maybe more to the point, to change each of us. Isaiah is the comforter today with his blessed vision of peace. And John the Baptist is the challenger, John, the disturber of the peace. Isaiah raises the curtain on a scene that sounds more like something out of J.K. Rowling or J.R. Tolkien than Holy Writ. With broad and beautiful strokes, Isaiah paints a picture of the peaceable kingdom, God's dream, God's plan for the human family. It definitely seems closer to fantasy than to reality. But that is not our judgment to make. Remember, this is God's kingdom, not ours. In God's kingdom, the poor are on top of the heap, and the meek are the ones with all the power. Here in God's kingdom, mortal enemies become friends. Wolves live alongside lambs. Lions graze in pasture with cows. Children play by the cobra's den, and all God's children live in peace. For there shall be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Fantasy? It seems so, doesn't it? It's certainly a large leap from the world as we know it. But my friends, Advent is about making leaps. In Advent, we prepare to welcome once again God's almighty word, our Savior, who in the midnight of a very dark world made the huge leap from heaven to earth, becoming one of us, forever changing the very nature of reality. Or perhaps I should say, forever giving reality possibilities it never had before. Once the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, our human nature, graced but wounded, received a whole new lease on life. It took on new possibilities. What once seemed sheer fantasy, a peaceful world with justice for all, and the human family living as one family, what once seemed sheer fantasy became a possibility, a divine possibility, as divine as the Word that became one of us. But you may be saying to yourself, let's be real. Nothing has really changed. Christ came 2,000 years ago, and nothing has changed except perhaps for the worse. Even people who believe in Christ are hopelessly divided among themselves, scandalously so. And tragically, his followers, far from seeking peace, have actually killed untold numbers of people down through the ages, often in his name. But my friends, we must not let our failures blur the vision or define what is real. Remember, the vision is God's, not ours. And the power to realize the vision is in Christ. And Christ has become one of us. And we, through our baptism, have become one with him. So yes, human selfishness and greed do get in the way. But no flaws or failings or shortcomings of ours are equal to the grace of Jesus Christ. And therein lies hope, my friend. My friends, therein lies the antidote to the powerlessness we feel and the cynicism which can close our hearts and shut our eyes to the great vision. I began by saying that Isaiah was the comforter today, and John the Baptist the challenger, the disturber of the peace. Perhaps that was not entirely fair. It's true that John's harsh, finger-pointing words, "You brood of vipers, who can save you from the wrath to come," are as much a reproach to us as they were to the Pharisees and Sadducees who first heard them. But John does more than point the finger of blame. He also points with serene confidence to the Lamb of God, the Christ, the one far greater than him, the one whose sandals he's not worthy to carry. This one, says the Baptist, this one is the real baptizer because he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. But my friends, we have received that baptism. We have. And it should be a fire within us and a transforming spirit. But our baptism will not burn within us if we do not let it. And it will not change us unless we want to be changed. There are so many ways we can negate the power, the divine power of our baptism. And that brings me to a question I'd like to pose. What reality do you choose to live in? The reality of things as they are and have always been, the tired out reality of the status quo, the cyclical reality of fear and selfishness, which invariably lead to hatred and violence in all their many forms? Or do you dare to dream of and to choose a whole new kind of world that has become possible with the coming of Jesus Christ? The French writer Georges Bernanos, in his wonderful and classic novel, The Diary of a Country Priest, speaks eloquently to this point. Faith, he wrote, is not a thing which one loses. We merely cease to shape our lives by it. Let me repeat that. Faith is not a thing one loses. We merely cease to shape our lives by it. And there's a lot of truth to that, and wisdom. But hope is not the same as faith. I think we can lose hope. We lose hope when we no longer shape our lives by faith. For faith holds on to the great vision, the great dream. It embraces that vision no matter how fantastic it may seem or how unreal. Faith puts no limits on the real. Dear friends, each year we celebrate Advent and Christmas because we need to be teased and tantalized by a vision which, in all honesty, does seem more fantasy than reality. But we must never stop believing in that vision because, for reasons we will never understand, God believes in us. And God wants to use us to make the great dream come true.